This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
All right, Pete in New Jersey, finishing up with the, quote, gay agenda. It's a dehumanizing agenda, an anti-human agenda. We're not attacking people that have been sucked up in this. They're saying now in national announcements, your children are ours. We're coming for you. This is an army. This is a new colonialism. This is a system that's conquering the planet. Even world leaders are saying that. How do we extricate ourselves from this?
Well, the way you, it's basically the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So it actually starts with us. It starts with Christians. And it starts with us getting sin out of our lives and turning to God and praying.
But the that's right. We have to receive the Spirit and the transmission of God, not the Spirit of the New World Order.
Of course. And so the reason it's such an issue that pertains to everybody in the world, and specifically in, you know, the United States of America, where this is so pervasive, and it's like the headquarters of this LGBT agenda being pushed around the world. I mean, even Donald Trump set off an initiative to basically spread LGBT propaganda around the world. That was one of his administration's stated goals.
And look how they treat it.
Well, the Bible says when a nation is given over to these abominations, there's a spiritual principle that the land itself will vomit out its inhabitants. So the problem is when we put up with this and when we cower to these bullies, and that's what they always are in the Bible, they're bullies.
Because a man and a woman is a huge ritual of two different creatures coming together to create a new entity. This is magic. This is high art. This is the highest thing. You let things get in the middle of that, you create abomination. Thank you, Pete. Sly in Texas on the LGBTQP at your kids, CDC. They've declared, we're coming for your kids to rape them in national TV shows. Why are they declaring it? What do we do about this, Sly?
Well, Alex, God bless you first and foremost. Fantastic callers. I hope I can follow up well. I actually think this might have to be some kind of PSYOP, like Operation Trainee or something, because it's in everybody's faces, it's everywhere, and I've had several gay friends throughout my life, and none of the gay people I know act that way. Hello?
I'm right here listening to you, brother, so what's your view?
Yes, sir. Well, I think it's got to be some kind of PSYOP or something. Because it's in everybody's faces. It's everywhere. It didn't used to be that way. In most
well, exactly.
Cases.
They go, we're the government. We're black. We're gay. It's exactly. It's not the average gay person that's even pushing all this. It's like, what is it?
Well, I think Ike did a good video on this years back. Everything's inverted. You know, if you spell live backwards, it's evil. It's everything is the opposite of what it's supposed to be. Our government that's supposed to protect us is harassing patriots that actually are protecting citizens. The DHS is trying to kill you. The FDA approves poisons. The church is going along with Satan. This is Satan's time on this planet to rule. Everything's backwards.
And it really is backwards. I mean, all of it is so transparent. Is so ridiculous. Thank you, Sly. All right, Jason and Dixon. Not Mason and Dixon. It's Jason and Dixon. We're out of time. Give us your number. We'll call you back tomorrow when I'm on Friday Live. But Jay Dyer, great author, great researcher, is about to take over. Please remember, listeners, it is a revolutionary act to take clips out of the show and share it on Instagram and Google and YouTube and Twitter. Keep doing it. You're having a huge effect. I salute you. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We have free shipping to all Patriot points. It ends this weekend. We have X to the Deep Earth Halogen, the good iodine. That's 50% off, 60% off the spray bottle, by the way. And that funds us. Get a T-shirt, get a book, get a film. Thank you all for your support. Great job of the crew so far. Jay Dyer is about to take over. Jason and Dixon, Like I told you, tomorrow we will get you back on the show. So get a free American t-shirt or get a Save the Frogs t-shirt, InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air. It is you that keeps us on the air.
Hydrofluorolistic acid is an electrified form of fluoride. Now, microscopic amounts of calcium fluoride are needed for our bodies and are good for us, but tiny amounts. A lot of it's deadly poison. But hydrofluorolistic acid is electrified. It's one of the most deadly, toxic poisons on the planet. And since the late 1940s, a little gift from the New World Order, they've been putting it in our water to annihilate our DNA, twist our chromosomes, and lower our IQs and fertility. Well, there happens to be a good halogen, and it's called iodine. And we happen to have the highest quality formulas of iodine available anywhere. We have to have a DEA license at our manufacturer just to put out the deep earth crystals that are in X2 and X3, both of which are discounted through the 4th of July, the double Patriot points and free shipping. 50% off for X2, 60% off for X3, and X3 selling out. Take advantage of it now.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it away. The names in the middle.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, his analysis. Now, Alex put out a great documentary this last week, a little mini documentary about three evil sites in New York. And one of those sites relates to... Books of the Elite. That is the writings of the elite themselves that go into great detail as to how they would conduct the next phase of their business plan to bring in the technocratic global order. Of course, the magnum opus of that is Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley, but a lot of people don't know that Quigley wrote another book. He was the professor at Georgetown, the military historian, archivist for the CFR. His book, Tragedy and Hope, of course, was given to CIA operatives back in the 70s, 60s, Cold War era to help them understand why would we as Western powers be aiding, at times, communists, right? Doesn't that seem to go against the logic of the Cold War? And so the apologetic of Tragedy and Hope is geared towards explaining a lot of these kinds of seeming contradictions in the Western approach to the Cold War. And as we all know, Quigley's whole thesis is that the tragedies were the two world wars and the Cold War, and the hope was Western globalist capitalist democracy. Of course, capitalist there means neoliberalism in the sense of crony capitalism, in the sense of top-down control corporatism. Right? So we're not talking about the older free market model. We're talking about the control of the oligarchs. But what a lot of people don't know is that Quigley wrote another important book. In ways, it was more important than Tragedy and Hope due to a lot of the details that he spilled in terms of who actually ran the global government. So while Tragedy and Hope gives you this 1,300-page history and kind of apologetic defense of what was going on and why the elite engineered the two world wars and the Cold War, the Anglo-American establishment tells you who's behind it. So we're going to be going through some of this forgotten classic here, the Anglo-American establishment. And it, again, it parallels very well with Alex's documentary. So Quigley starts out by talking about in the early phases of of the 20th century, by about 1920s, the British Empire had come up with a plan that they called the Commonwealth of Nations. And so this is where we get Chatham House, this is where we get the Cliveden Set, we get these sort of circles of elites and lords who said, all right, look, the British Empire represents the greatest ascent in human evolution, quite literally. They thought that it was the apex of evolutionary ascent. And this is tied in, of course, with Darwinism, or the adoption of the Darwinistic religion, really. If you read what Darwinism actually is, it goes back to ancient Hinduism. You can see then, of course, the British preference for the Hindu caste system. It meshes perfectly with the Darwinian, social Darwinian perspective of how to structure society in this way.
And so Quigley points out certain figures and thinkers who were kind of the ideologues. There's John Ruskin, who thought that we should instantiate a global socialism under the British Empire. There's Toynbee. There's H.G. Wells, right? These different thinkers who said, let's divide up the world and put it under the aegis of the British Empire. In fact, Toynbee would be the key to giving us the ideology, or giving them the ideology, I should say. And by 1938, through this secret society at Oxford, Cambridge, and other schools, through the support of banking elites like the Morgans, the Rothschilds, the Rhodes Trust, the Bight Trust, Lazard Brothers and Company, they had essentially taken over the entire intellectual apparatus of the British Empire. So this was the dominant force by that time, by the 30s and 40s. We can see that this will lead to, of course, not just the creation of the League of Nations earlier than that, but it will even lead to the creation of the United Nations by the same power structure, because they're allied with the Rockefeller power structure, the J.P. Morgan, Mellon, Carnegie Trust in the U.S. They're linked together. But Quigley goes on to talk about the fact that by the 1920s, 30s, 40s, they had not just controlled the universities in the U.K., but that they'd also gained control of the Church of England. The whole Anglican apparatus, which was always kind of a tool of the British crown all the way back to Henry VIII, they had co-opted the ministers in the church. And this is paradigmatic for the way it works now, right? Remember that this is not different. This superstructure, this octopus, operates the exact same way now. They do the exact same thing, where they co-opt and buy off churches and religions to be the arms of this global technocratic order. Now, it's true that we're not under the old British imperial system anymore. But what the Pax Americana became, as we'll see here in a little bit, was laid out by these Royal Society strategists. Now, the Royals also birthed this steering committee idea of the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And this is the Milner Group and all the same people involved in what I'm talking about now. They set up this idea of, let's have a modern kind of round table of knights or elites who will steer the globe into the liberal world order. Now you think, well, doesn't that sound good? Don't we want a free world order where everybody can freely exchange ideas and goods and it's a free market? No, that's not what it means. You have to understand that this is an inversion. Most of the time when you see them saying that kind of stuff, it actually means the opposite. Now, they were at this time in the 20s and 30s, if you read Lord Birkenhead's famous essay in Cosmopolitan, they had already birthed the idea of a technocracy. Yes, this early, back in the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, people like H.G. Wells were already kind of forming the future projections. Everybody knows about Huxley and Brave New World for this group. So you have to understand, it is this group that is the Illuminati, so to speak, 100 years ago. And we're going to get into who makes up this group, what the actual structure of this group was, how it functioned, how they recruited people. It's all in this book, by the way. Now, keep in mind that Cecil Rhodes was, of course, the famous Freemason, and he is sort of the front man at that time for this conspiracy. You could think of him like the Klaus Schwab of his day. Now, certainly, Cecil Rhodes was a wealthy, powerful man, but he was more or less, according to biographers of him, John Roberts has a famous biography, essentially an agent of the Rothschilds. So Cecil Rhodes is nothing more than a front man, a kind of operator like Rhodes or like a Schwab or Gates, to essentially set up these kinds of structures in other countries, right? So they ran a lot of experiments in Africa through the Rhodes Trust and through how they would structure people in terms of camps, right? The diamond mines. That's all what was going on in Africa under this structure of the British Empire. Other famous lords would be people like Lord Halford Mackinder, Lord Curtis, Lord Lionel Curtis, and they hatched this plan. Get this. The second chapter of Quigley's book deals with how to infiltrate and co-opt all areas of society. Now, this is 100 years ago. Okay, we're not talking about speculating, is there a conspiracy today? Well, I don't know, maybe. No, we're talking about 100 years ago. They openly talked about it. Okay, they came up with what they called a triple point plan. The triple point plan, as hatched by Lord Rothschild and Cecil Rhodes, would be to get into every area of public life, mainly education, media, and politics. If they could control education, media, and politics, and if they could foist that same model in other countries, then the Commonwealth of God model of the British Empire could be a truly global government. Okay, so again, remember, the global government plan was hatched over 100 years ago. Now, yes, there were globalists prior to that. The Jacobins were globalists. Immanuel Kant wrote a famous essay calling for globalism. And every empire in the history of the world was in some degree globalist, right? But the modern New World Order that we always talk about, it comes from this. This is a crucial book that outlines the whole superstructure, the strategy, the infiltration, co-opting every area of society. And ultimately, yes, to bring in a technocracy. And you have to read. It's just go look it up online. It's called Lord Birkenhead's Essay in Cosmopolitan Magazine. I think it was 1919 or 1920. Way ahead of time. See you right there.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding.
Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Be sure and support the InfoWars store. Go and get all of your supplement needs in the store. We won't be here unless you support the work that we're doing. Now, we were talking about the technocratic plans that were already in play back in the teens and 20s on the part of the British Empire, the British Commonwealth. In fact, one of these characters who was one of the key architects of the League of Nations, which was the sort of nascent plan for global government at that time, was Lord Robert Cecil, and he was given the Nobel Prize, which is interesting. So I think we could even speculate that the Nobel Prize was a kind of propaganda joke all the way back then, right? Because we know that the League of Nations wasn't really about creating a peaceful world order. It was a monetarist plan to restructure the world and get it into debt. I mean, that's the key thing here, especially if you read Tragedy and Hope. When the bankers have these big, you know, Yalta meetings, Marshall Plan meetings, when they have these big meetings to settle the post-war era, it's really to get the future generations into infinite debt. That's why all these countries have huge deficits, right? All the wars, oh, we still owe, right, the banking elites for World War II. So you're in debt for the next several generations, and that's really the ultimate long-term goal of why wars are so beneficial to banking elites. And in fact, even famous generals, right? General Smedley Butler realized this, that war is a racket. It's merely a kind of business plan for extremely wealthy people. So the League of Nations, of course, was the brainchild of the Royal Institute for International Affairs. As we said, we were talking about how they had come up with this triple threat plan to infiltrate the three areas of society, media, education, and politics. So even at that time, right, they had figured out that let's just have puppet politicians, right? We don't really have to worry about what they say in terms of their policies. You let them yap and say what they want, we'll just buy them off, right? And if you print the money, you control the printing press, right, through the fiat Federal Reserve banking system, which the Bank of England was one of those fiat Federal Reserve private banking systems, right? You can control the politicians. You can print as much money as you want, buy off whoever you want. But as they began to infiltrate the education system, and specifically higher education, the elite universities, one of the things they did was recruit from Oxford, Cambridge, All Souls, etc. And that's what's going on in the UK, right? There was similar patterns, remember, in New York, when Chatham House is set up, Pratt House is set up, you've got the same model going on in the U.S., and this is why the U.S. elite set up similar steering committees, right? You get CFR, you get Trilateral Commission, you get the Institute for Pacific Relations by, you know, David Rockefeller, right? These are the same models, the same strategies and plans being done on both sides of both continents. So when they had converted enough of the Anglican ministers, when they had converted enough of the the educational elite, then it became a situation where they wanted to call it literally a secret society. And believe it or not, this is not, again, this is not a conspiracy book. This is a classic tome of geopolitics. Okay, not conspiracy, just the history of geopolitical intrigues by a military historian. And the third chapter is called The Secret Society of Cecil Rhodes. Right? And they said, well, we'll just recruit people into this by giving them scholarships. So the next generation of the intellectual elite will give them free scholarships. And that's how we'll just control everybody. And we'll have the key seats in the universities chaired by people that are part of our system. Now you think, well, how could they pull this off?
How could they do this? Well, they had a structure. And in fact, Quigley explains and lists the structure. Now, the first thing that will probably surprise you is that they chose the Jesuit order as the model for how to structure the society. Now, that doesn't mean that the Jesuits run the New World Order. The Jesuits play a role. The Jesuits have for a long time, right, been agents of globalism, been agents of and connected to the CIA. That's well established, well documented. And so they play a role, but I don't think the Jesuits as an order are at the top of the pyramid. But they certainly play an important role in globalism. In fact, Jesuits were the great evangelizers of Darwinism across the world. So in a way, they were kind of helping the British Empire in spreading the myth of the Darwinian ethos, that the British Empire was the apex of human evolution. But Quigley notes that the structure that Cecil came up with and Cecil Rhodes and the Rockefeller, the Rothschilds came up with would be modeled on the Jesuit structure. So as you know, right, there's a secret black pope amongst the, who's the head of the Jesuits, and he's called the black pope because he's typically had quite a bit of power in the Roman Catholic superstructure, right? He may not be the pope in Rome, but he's kind of a secret order or secret head within the Roman Catholic structure. And we've seen, of course, this come to the fore in the last few years through the stepping down of Benedict and the rise of Bergoglio, right, who was a Jesuit. But what's interesting is on page 33, Quigley says that Rhodes and Rothschild hatched a plan to bring America back under the sway of the British Imperium. This is crucial. This is why America changed so much throughout the 20th century. Everybody knows, of course, the Founding Fathers had a very non-interventionist, right, stay out of the European wars attitude. Why was that? Well, the Founding Fathers knew that this would entangle the U.S. back in all of those conflicts that would lead to, that would tempt the United States into stepping in as a policeman of the world, as a global actor, as a new imperium. And as we will see, that's exactly what happened. We even know who did it. We know all the people. We know the British agents who came over and set up the OSS and CIA. It was all done as planned by Rhodes and Rothschild. We must bring the Now, it didn't exactly work out as they hoped because, as we know, throughout the 20th century, the British Empire eventually kind of goes bankrupt, fades away, but it prepares the way for the Pax Americana. So the elites that ran Britain, okay, we're not talking about the British people. We're talking about the Royal Society, the RIA, the Milner Group, these people working with the Rothschilds. Those are the people who said, no, who cares about the Brit Empire? We'll just rebrand this as the American Imperium. And we'll set up a secret structure. This is the inner party. When Orwell talks about an inner party and an outer party, this is it. And you say, but wait a minute, how can socialism be compatible with all this? Wasn't Orwell talking about ingsoc, English socialism? Yes, Orwell is telling you that they control, the elite control both sides of this. It doesn't matter whether it's capitalist or whether it's socialist communist. The elite families are above that dialectical fray. Now, there's really people fighting it out between those two sides, but the super rich, they're above that, and they will fund both sides of that conflict. When we get into the next section, I'm going to show you, according to Quigley, the actual structure of the actual inner party Illuminati. This is the...
In 60 seconds, I have a really bad tendency about going into too much detail, but listeners and viewers know that I straight shoot you. The last thing I would do is BS you. I personally have a reminder on the calendar on my phone that at least once a week I've got to take Survival Shield X2 or X3. Because when I don't, My energy, my stamina, my libido, my focus, everything is not half as good as it should be. This is a product system that everyone should be taking because it's not just a product. It is essential in the body, and most iodine is found in the food you get. Most people are very deficient in it. So we have X2 for 50% off with free shipping, edible pastry points. X3, 60% off free shipping, edible pastry points, running through July 4th because I want you to experience X2 and X3, particularly X3. I'm not saying it's better than X2, but this is something that can really benefit everybody, and it runs the M4. So get your X2 and X3 with free shipping. Massive discounts now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. If you want signed copies of my book that breaks down a lot of this material through the lens of Hollywood and pop culture, go to Jay's Analysis and then the shop. You can find signed copies. You can also subscribe to my website, get access to the last 5 years of my lectures that deal with these very topics. Now, we were talking about the Rhodes, Milner, Rothschild plan to utilize a secret society inner structure like that of the Jesuits. And in fact, they even went so far as to say that we would like to see the English Imperium supplant and take over the Roman Catholic religion. So they actually wanted something modeled on the Vatican and the Roman Catholic superstructure to supplant and take over what that church or that, that group represented. Hence, again, the plan to model it after the Jesuits. And one example, by the way, that quickly gets into of the controlled chaos divide and conquer strategy was that he mentions the Rothschild support of the Boer War. That was actually a plan of the British Empire to foster chaos and destruction in that region so that they could come in and have the monopoly on the diamond mining. One other point I would add, too, is that this is not divorced from the esoteric. As we said, of course, Cecil Rhodes was a fairly high-level Freemason, 32 or 33rd degree, if I remember correctly. But a big part of the religious arm of the Anglo-American establishment was the Society for Psychical Research, and this was founded by many of the members of the Balfour Group, the Milner Group, and the RIIA. And what they wanted to do was utilize a kind of religion that they could come up with that they thought would be maybe modeled after psychicalism or mesmerism that was very popular at this time, right? And they were hoping to tap into some kind of literally pre-New Age philosophy and esoteric system that they could use as a kind of global religion. Yes, on page 32, Quigley talks about how they hoped that they could tap into something that could be a potential global religion that they could run and control. Again, they had already the Church of England. They had other groups that they had co-opted, and eventually I believe they co-opted the Jesuits. Even though they modeled themselves on it, eventually this elite, this same power structure, which is more or less kind of what runs things today, even though it's, you know, all these people are dead and gone, their successors run things today. Now, here's the structure that Quigley gets into. He says, all right, Rothschild came up with this idea for the Society of the Elect, and this is the secret society inner core that I was mentioning with Cecil Rhodes. That's what the chapter's talking about, the secret society of Cecil Rhodes. This inner core would be the top elites amongst the families, lords, right? And so it's listed at this time, I think back in the 1890s into the early 1900s. This is the society as drawn up in 1891. So notice this secret society was already structured in 1891. The head of this society would be Rothschilds and Rhodes, right? So Rothschilds would be kind of the funder, the money behind it, and then the general of this order would be Cecil Rhodes. Underneath him would be Lord Stead, Lord Brett, and Lord Milner. Under them would be a circle of initiates called, namely Cardinal Manning. So here we have a Roman Catholic who's part of this society structure already at this time. A surprising figure, General Booth of the Salvation Army. That's an odd one. Some other lords in this, including Lord Grey and Lord Balfour. And, of course, we all know about Balfour Declaration. You can see why that plays into this British imperial strategy as well. And then outside of these elect would be what they call the helpers, the Society of Helpers. Yes. So what is the Society of Helpers? This is the thousands of academic elites that they would recruit at the universities, the dupes, the idiots, and the patsies who thought that they would be benefiting from this global government. This was in the 1890s. You see that they had set up this plan to create, at that time, that's a different Society of Helpers. This is the inner core of the Society of Helpers that Rothschild and Rhodes had set up that was basically just Cambridge, Oxford elites. So a lot of academic people thought, we're being brought into this great plan of Cecil Rhodes and Lord Rothschild and Lord Johnson and Lord Stead and Lord Brett, Lord Milner, and they're going to set up a great free democratic global government. And they literally called it the Commonwealth of God. That's what they thought at that time would be a good kind of spin. Well, if we call it the Commonwealth of God, right, then everybody will believe in it because who wants to go against God, right? I mean, it was literally that dumb, but it apparently worked pretty well because although this
didn't achieve the actual global government in their day, it did lay the plans and the strategies for what would become the global government eventually that we're now dealing with. That's the key here, is that we are dealing with what this was planning 100 years ago, this group. Also, obviously important to this would be the intelligence networks, and Quigley covers this in this same chapter, that really this Society of Helpers functions like a kind of British intelligence network, and that's really what it was. There's another famous historian, Jessica Harlan Jacobs, who wrote a book about the builders of the empire. And that book is a history of the British Empire's usage of the Freemasonic lodges. And her thesis is just basically that really the British Empire used Freemasonry as a kind of intelligence network. That's all it was. If you've never seen the movie The Man Who Would Be King with Sean Connery and Michael Caine, go watch The Man Who Would Be King, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about, because those two scallywags are basically British intelligence spies, and they just romp around Europe and go into, I think they go into the Himalayas or somewhere, and they set up a cult, right? So, and Sean Connery passes himself off as the reincarnation of Alexander the Great. It's a good insight into the Masonic philosophy and how the British Empire used this kind of intelligence apparatus. But the idea was, of course, that there would be a global government that would set up, that would be liberal, that would be using the name God, the Commonwealth of God. And Cecil Rhodes says, well, we're just going to buy everybody off. Lord Milner says, we're going to use masses of propaganda. And then Milner said, let's set up a giant welfare system. This was a key point here. Lord Milner said, if we can have everybody on a dole, right? So they're implementing elements of socialism as well as elements of big banking capitalism, right? Monopoly capitalism. Usury is a big part of the system, by the way. Then they thought they could combine these into a perfect technocratic order. What do we see nowadays with China, right? China says we are the apex of the blending of communism and capitalism into the perfect system. That's nothing new. That's all. That's what John Ruskin and these people were posing 100 years ago, was that model. And in fact, they even noted in what's the chapter that's called Milner's Kindergarten. This is Lord Milner's plan to set up these educational brainwashing centers to brainwash people into this, that basically the state is God. We will create a liberal imperium, a liberal order, and a liberal league. And they even called it liberal imperialism. They, Lord Grey formed the Liberal League, which was based on liberal imperialism, with Lord Milner closely associated with it. Then, of course, they bought off people in other churches, the Church of Scotland, right? The Church of then they brought in Canada. I forgot to mention that. So Canada plays a key role in this. So Canada was obviously co-opted as one of the Commonwealths, brought into this superstructure, and it will actually be an important Canadian intelligence asset who will play a key role in bringing the U.S. into this power structure. The Dawes Plan was drawn up by the banks, and that would be another a key choke point to bring people into this debt-based banking order. Lord Curtis is the one, as I said, who came up with this idea to transition the British Empire into the liberal Commonwealth of God. So when we come back, we'll see some more of this and how it transitions.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. chronic constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Up here with the Carol Quigley classic book, Anglo-American Establishment. Quigley moves on to talk about the function of the state in the liberal imperium was to basically become a kind of quasi-religion. It would be a religious level status by which people would accept the imperial philosophy that would supplant belief and trust in their own nation states. Literally, they propagandized this into the mass mind by using all of the outlets that they had bought. In fact, they had bought most of the media outlets in the UK by the 30s and 40s, including the Times, the Independent. All of those, the Economist, were owned by the Rothschild Rhodes Milner Network. By these media outlets, they were beginning to inculcate the idea that the Atlanticist goals would be disseminated through every outlet, educational media, and it would include the idea of removing the belief in individual sovereignty, getting rid of the idea of the nation state, getting rid of the idea of family and loyalty to family and God, and supplanting that with loyalty to international ideals through the promotion of generic ideas like freedom. Just freedom, man. And there's an amazing section where, I think Quigley wrote this back in the 80s, 81. I don't know if he wrote that. My copy came out in 80, 81. But
what's amazing is that there's a section where they even talk about this like it is the logical outgrowing of a series of evolution or revolution, right? Now, we know that Aldous Huxley called this the final revolution, right? And so there's a section where they even talk about the logical process, so-called, of evolutionary thought and evolution as a kind of mystical religion. And Quigley says, yes, that is the attitude of the British Empire, that they thought it was a logical process of a kind of Luciferian evolution. Now, he doesn't use the word Luciferian. I do. But he does talk about, on page 186, the fact that this secret society had, by the middle of the century, basically set up 2,500 Royal Institute for International Affairs members. There were 100 people in the Milner Group, and then the Society of Elect being 12 people, and then the Society of Elect being run by the top three. So, again, you've got the Lord Rothschild, Rhodes, and Milner, the top three. Under them, the Society of the Elect, 12 people, which is almost kind of a weird version of the Apostles, right? Under them, the Milner Group, which has 100 people, and they're over the 2,500 members of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and that's who sets up, right, the American branches of CFR, etc. So this is a real historical entity with an actual structure like a pyramid, right? I even drew a little helpful pyramid there to let you know what this is talking about. And we even know who's behind this. And we know that they carved up the globe in the 20th century. They're the people who set up nations like Iraq. Right? They're the one who, this is the entity that sent T.E. Lawrence in to divide up Saudi Arabia. Right? The great British spy, T.E. Lawrence. So, if you've never seen Lawrence of Arabia, by the way, go watch that Peter O'Toole movie. It's making the same point, right? So you get an insight into the way the British Empire functioned. Now, I mentioned that they were able to co-opt the U.S. into coming back under this superstructure, particularly at the time of World War II. And how did this go? How did this come about? Well, there was a couple spies, actually a handful of them, who were very crucial to doing this. And amazingly, they weren't just unknown spies. They were actually people involved in Hollywood. They're called the Irregulars. Right. So here we have the Irregulars, that is people like Roald Dahl, people like Ian Fleming. Yes, Ian Fleming helped Bill Donovan set up the OSS. And another important figure from Canada, Canadian intelligence, named William Stevenson, codename Intrepid. So together, this coterie of British intelligence assets working for this group that Quigley's talking about were able to convince our president at the time, it was FDR, right, to help set up this secret inner core of spies and the intelligence security state, right, the National Security Act in 1942. And, oh, we got to do this to protect America against all the, you know, the threats to our freedom. And the earlier, right, we had already had a co-opting of the banking through Colonel Edwin Mandel House under Woodrow Wilson, right, and the 14 points. Well, under FDR, it's the four freedoms, right? So it's the same group that had taken over the Federal Reserve Bank of the country back in 1913 through Colonel House as their agent. They make another huge move, right, under FDR through setting up the secret deep state national security state, which is, again, an agent of this entity, okay? Quigley even goes into the inquiry, right? The inquiry was already there. It was already present. That was the post-World War I sort of nascent intelligence agency that was forming. But it's these same people, right? Part of the inquiry, together with these Irregulars, these British spies, who set up our national security state, which from that point on is the real controlling power of the country. It's that simple. It's not draconians. It's not we have to sit around and speculate about aliens. We don't have to wonder. I mean, there's a demonic element to it, yeah. But we don't have to wonder who was behind all this, who transitioned the country from a non-interventionist into a totally globalist, right, role player Pax Americana. These people, we know it. It's in the books,
There's no mystery here, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a conspiracy. Maybe something's going on. Who knows? Is it this group? Is it that group? They're all part of the same group, right? The same people that go to CFR, go to the Trilateral Commission, and they go to Bilderberg. It's just revolving doors. And in fact, Quigley even has a discussion of revolving door stuff in here. So this is where we get, after World War II and into the Cold War, right? The purpose of the Cold War is to get the whole world involved now in a new conflict that allows for the erecting of the technocratic infrastructure. Yes, that's the purpose of the Cold War in the long term, right? We wouldn't be where we are now with computers everywhere without the Cold War. And as I always point out, in the middle of Tragedy and Hope, there's that important chapter about the managerial society. The managerial society, as Quigley said back in the 60s, is the technocratic society. Quigley said, computers, AI, they will run the world, they will run your cities, they'll run your houses, they'll run your life. So he knew, and they have had this planned way back then, because Quigley is an agent of these people. He's an apologist for these people. And he, it's going to be great, right? It's going to fix all the problems. We're going to have to just kill everybody. He's a big depopulation advocate, just like all these people, because they adopted the Darwinian Malthusian worldview. That is the operating system of this worldview. And it's directly connected to transhumanism. Again, Lord Birkenhead was talking about transhumanism before Aldous Huxley was, in the teens, in the 20s. The British Imperial Royal Society structure had already drawn up these plans. And so what we see playing out is not run by all the same British elites, right? It's the same power structure. There are some of the same families involved in this, but now it is passed on to the technocratic elite. There's still, yes, powerful Rockefellers. There's still powerful Rothschilds. There's still powerful families who engaged in this conspiracy 100 years ago, whose same power structure, the inquiry, the OSS, the CIA, those are adjuncts and busybodies for the banking elite. And that's who runs things now. That's who set up Silicon Valley. That's who runs the world almost. And that's who we're fighting. So meanwhile, everybody's distracted by a bunch of politics. And I'm not saying everybody involved in local politics is bad or anything like that. But Quigley said 100 years ago, the politicians are kind of a Punch and Judy show or whatever, like a puppet show or something like that. Because these are the real people that nobody actually can ever figure out. Even though it's publicly in the books, the people can't figure out who runs this stuff. And it's the same people like Klaus Schwab. They represent this people, right? Prince Charles was just on Klaus Schwab's podcast or whatever a few months ago, right? Talking about how we've got to have this mass depopulation. This is the crew. This is the group. It's the same, at least, structure of an inner party that Orwell talked about, right? And remember, Orwell was talking about English socialism, but the people who ran the system said, we're just going to combine the best, well, actually the worst elements, right? They would say the best, but the worst elements of capitalism and socialism into a third way, which will be the global technocratic government. And that's why the Cold War was necessary, to set up the tech infrastructure across the globe, right? The spy satellites, which will become this network, right, of interlinked Internet of Things, right? This all comes out of the Cold War. And that's what they had planned the whole time. So, if you don't know, this is a key book.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.